Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to my home here in Houston, Texas. What I personally believe is just about one of the best cities in the world. I just love Houston. I think it's just south of heaven. But welcome to the program and welcome to the show tonight. This is going to be one of those money back guarantees. If we charge for this, it would be money back guarantee. But since it's free, we'll go ahead and say it is a money back guarantee program that you're going to enjoy this. It's kind of a second part of what we started last week. And I'm looking forward to this side of it because we don't get the opportunity to see sometimes how the spouse handles the ongoing disturbances of what's going on inside of a man that has been abused and kept it quiet. So we're going to be talking about that shortly. I'd love for you to get involved in it. It looks like we're getting lots of text already, but at 888-627-6008, if you want to call in tonight, you can get on the Facebook page, Shattered by the Darkness, and comment through there. But if you want to just talk directly to our guest tonight, just give us a call. She'll be glad to answer any questions, or we'll be glad to listen to any comments. Again, it's 888-627-6008, or my personal cell phone number is right here, 832-396-6525, and that's available to anybody that needs to talk, that wants somebody to listen 24/7 every day of the year, and I am the only one that has access to this, and you're going to get me directly, 832-396-6525. What and how crazy am I to give out my personal cell phone number? It's because it's the way we care. We just want you to be able to have somebody that you can tap into that knows that you're valuable, knows that you are a treasure, knows that you are a masterpiece, and will hopefully lead you and listen to you in the right direction, not only to healing, but to our Lord and Savior. So that is a couple things that I promise you if you contact me. So, but welcome to the program tonight. The Rams and the Seahawks are playing. It's a close game. The Seahawks are winning right now, and I've turned that off. It's right here on the big screen, but I just went ahead. I didn't mute it. I went ahead and turned it off. It'll still be going on probably after the program. So I just want to focus my attention totally on our guest tonight. And is it, you know, just something that's happened real quick this week? Does it seem like, is it just me, or does it seem like the stress levels of this world used to be here, but now they're here? It seems like everything is churning up to almost like everybody that you look at, or everywhere that we glance, or if you're even afraid to make eye contact with people anymore, that they're getting ready to pop, to explode. Or is it just me? It seems like it's out of control. So many things are happening in our world, in our politics, in the violence. And I don't want to take time to explain this part of it, but just in the noise. In the noise of the world, And it makes me just want to scream and go, "Hey, world, stop! I want to get off. I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to watch the news anymore. I don't even want to read the headlines anymore." And on top of all that stress, sometimes we blame ourselves. We're led to believe that it's our fault that we're not able to keep everything in our anxiety level and our stress level at a normal place. And it's kind of like, I don't know if you noticed anything different tonight, but I was noticing I got this plant for speaking. It was a little palm tree for speaking years ago. One of the first times I spoke about me being trafficked was with a group called United Against Human Trafficking here in Houston. It was the first time I ever came out about that part of my world. It's not even in my books. I haven't ever written about it, but I mentioned that I was trafficked when I was 11, 12, 13, and almost 14 years old by my dad every Monday night. And they gave me a little palm tree as when you speak at nonprofits, normally you get a soap on a rope or a thank you card or a pat on the back. And I don't do it for the money anyway. But they gave me a little, and I've kept that. And this is it. It's grown quite a bit. And I noticed the other day, when you're my age, the other day could be anywhere from now and 6 months ago. But about a couple months ago, I moved it from the corner of my kitchen counter here to the corner of the hallway there. And in that move, my tree started dying. And it's this what's going on with this world is kind of like me screaming at a house plant that has been hid in a dark closet and screaming, why are you not thriving? Why are you not growing? Why are you not green anymore? When it's really not, listen to this and lean into the camera on this, but if you want to, the problem isn't the plant. The problem is the environment. Now, tonight we're going to talk to a spouse of someone like me that we heard from last week, Micah, that had been placed, and it was a self-placement into a closet of darkness and kept that quiet for so many years. And then wondering why he wasn't thriving. What took place during those days of darkness? And then we wonder why the stressfulness is going from here to here in individuals and maybe in people that's listening to us tonight. If there's too much noise on the station, change the dial. If there's too much music that's causing you anxiety emotionally, I'm not talking about real music, I'm talking about emotional music, then replace it with love, compassion, action, grace, and change your environment. So that plant is going back to the place where it was thriving. And I think it's time that and tonight could be your night to listen to this guest with both ears and with your heart and your soul and your spirit. And it's time to step out of your own personal darkness, the environment that you put yourself in, or that other people aided you because of guilt and shame, put you in that emotional and mental prison. Tonight's a time and the very moment to step out into the sunlight. Let the warmth of that sun fill your life with life that will help you grow, life that will help you live. And today's a day that could be the first step into where you can start thriving. Because I really believe, and Thomas, if you would go ahead and bring our guest on side by side, so I'll stop mouthing off. But I really believe that today's world is filled with people that are looking for answers and they're about ready to pop. And all I want to say is step into the light. Take that step into the sunlight. And I'm not talking about only the S-U-N light, but I'm also talking about obviously the S-O-N light. That give him a chance, give him an opportunity to say, hey, wait, I embrace all that you are, all that you've gone through, all the scars that you have, all the dirt that you think that another shower will wash off. Let him do it. And then be used like our guest is being used tonight. Diana Lassert is, and I love this introduction, the first word is a biblical trauma-informed transformation coach. So she's going to know more about what I just have been spewing about. She's a world champion fitness athlete. Don't believe me? I've seen the videos and they're awesome. Look at there. And she is also a CTN television host of Soul Fit TV and the co-author of The Breaker, How Men Can Overcome Shame and Live in True Freedom. And she's a founder of Soul Strong, a faith-based fitness and wellness community for women 40 and over, alongside with her husband, Micah. They have done so much stuff besides Hitch Fit and the retreats they're having. I'm going to stop talking, and I just want to welcome to Diana to the program tonight. Welcome, Diana. It's great to have you with us tonight.
Oh, Gregory, thank you so much. Thanks for that introduction, and I love that story about the plant too. That's powerful.
Well, tell me what you're up to. Tell me what a little bit about you, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Micah and then how this side of it looks from your angle, because I think there's a lot of people, a lot of spouses on both sides that are saying, hey, wait, this is tough work, but it's worth it. Tell me all about everything about you and what we're going to talk about tonight.
I'll give you just the nutshell version of Micah and I met through the fitness industry. I grew up in the state of Vermont. I traveled around a lot. I lived in Utah for a while. I was a fitness director on a cruise ship. I moved to Texas, and Texas, where I started really stepping into the fitness industry. I had my own transformation journey where I lost 50 pounds and really changed my life around, started competing, ended up doing very well there. I won two world championship titles and
Wow.
was just, doing the magazine stuff, kind of like Micah was. And we met in 2008 at a big fitness convention, and really, I knew at that moment that he was my person, and we were just on very similar paths in life. We both were just so compelled to help other people transform. I knew immediately, it's like you say, the authenticity, like in our industry, that was very rare to meet. You'd see pictures of people and their profiles back on MySpace, and then you'd meet them in person, and it wasn't super authentic. But when we met, I really truly saw to his heart right out the gate, and I ended up moving to Kansas City 2 months later. We started Hitch Fit just very shortly after that, and we are now celebrating 17 years of Hitch Fit, and the Lord has just navigated us through not just the transformation pieces with our gyms in Kansas City. We started a global online personal training business before people knew what online training was. We've helped clients in 82 countries shed over 750,000 pounds of fat. We've been married coming up on 15 years, and just really continued pressing into our relationship with the Lord over the years and seeing where He would guide us. And we kind of got to where we're at today because 8 years ago, Micah had this vision at a, we were at a Carrie Job concert, a Christian singer, and he had a vision from the Lord that he needed to share this story of the sexual abuse that he'd gone through as a boy with the world. And that was terrifying for him. But he stepped into a massive healing journey that we've navigated together these past 8 years. And it's been really beautiful to see how the Lord has weaved that not into healing for him, but healing for me. And then allowing us to step into places like retreats and now the Breaker, and just to be able to help people on transformation on a completely different level than we would have realized 17 years ago. But an interesting part of that story is he shared with me on in Las Vegas at that fitness expo within 24 hours of meeting, he shared with me about his sexual abuse. And we didn't know how rare that was at the time, but it was foundational for our relationship and really set the tone for the deepness of connection that we've had.
And kind of throughout the gauntlet of, hey, I could be rejected immediately with this news, right? But that wasn't the response that he received from you.
No, it wasn't. And I've had a lot of people since Micah shared his story publicly just a couple of weeks ago. And I've had a lot of people ask me that question of, like, what did you think? Like, what was your first thought when you found that out? Did it scare you? Did you want to run away? Did you, was it like too much for you? And to be honest, I, it really, in that moment, how that we got to that point of the conversation, it was like this moment where I was so, almost like it was, I was honored that he had shared something that vulnerable with me. And I understood that this was something very, that I needed to hold. And it didn't make me think anything less of him. I didn't, it didn't make me think he's less masculine. It didn't make me be like, oh, I don't want to be with him. It was, I actually felt, I felt closer to him because he had shared something with me that was so painful and that was so hard, and I could tell, and I remember feeling very emotional. Like I just remember saying, I'm so sorry that happened to you. But the depth of our relationship that we had out the gate because he had the courage and the strength to share that with me literally transformed everything. I thought he was so strong for being able to do that and say that, especially with someone he had only known for 24 hours and he trusted me that much. It caused such a level of trust because he trusted me. I trusted him, like, to a depth that I'd never trusted another human being.
Yeah. Now, I promise I won't tell anybody. Nobody will hear this. What we're going to ask you next. Was you really 100% in, or was there some little bit of you that said, hey, wait, this guy's got a lot of baggage. He's got a lot of issues. Or was you really, really 100% into this?
Oh, I was 100% in.
That
I
is
mean,
so awesome.
by the end of that weekend, we were, I was, he was living in Kansas City. I was in Texas. We were like, we're in this, like, we are together. We changed our MySpace statuses and our profile pictures.
Oh, that's
And
official then.
like official. But there was never a moment. Now, I was 30, I think I was 30 when Micah and I met. So I had already been through a lot of, relationships, even some
Yeah.
longer relationships. And the one of the reasons why I knew so out the gate that this was my person, because we had communicated briefly on MySpace prior to this. We had talked on the phone one time, and it wasn't like, hey, baby, baby talk. It was like, wow, this is so cool that you're really in this space and you're so passionate about helping other people transform. When we met in Vegas, and within 24 hours, when I knew that I was like, I really like this guy. He's a very attractive man, and we clicked on that, on a friendship level. We felt very connected immediately. But I had turned my heart, my heart to the Lord, back to the Lord, about a year prior, and I had made a commitment to the Lord. I've known the Lord since I was very young, but I had about a 10-year span of running away from him.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm good. I call them my ding dong years, where I ran around doing whatever I felt like doing. And a year prior to meeting Micah, I had started to turn my eyes back to the Lord. And I said, I will never even date again unless the man has foundationally has a relationship with Jesus. And so why we got into such deep conversation so early was within that 24 hours, I was like, oh, I really like him. But for me, the deal breaker was, do you have a relationship with Jesus? And so, Las Vegas at the fitness expo, I'm like, hey, got a question for you. Like, do you know Jesus? And he hesitated, he paused, and he said, I do. I know Jesus. I've accepted him as my savior. He said, but I'm very angry at God. And in that moment, I knew that there was a weightiness and there was a heavy story there. And I didn't pry. I was grateful that his answer was yes. And I was curious, but I just also felt like this isn't the moment to ask or to pry. And so it was later that night at dinner, and we were really in deep conversation about so many things. And I said, and then I asked him, I said, why are you angry at God? And that's when he told me. He was like, I was sexually abused by a man that was a leader in the church, and I couldn't understand why God would let that happen to me. And that is kind of how we got to that moment where that I felt just the sadness and the heaviness, not just for the brokenness of his innocence, but also for the brokenness of his relationship with God that was caused by that too. And so there was not even a moment that passed through my mind that thought this man is tainted, this is too much. I just knew. And I didn't know what it was going to look like going forward, but I trusted that the Lord had brought me this person, and I didn't see him as anything other than so strong. I truly couldn't believe it. And even now, 8 years later, seeing him, even on your show last week, how he's to the point of being able to share this, and there is no longer, he's not in that bondage. And trust me, over the last 8 years, we've been in the bondage, and we've been in the muck, and we've been in the ick, and there's been really painful, hard stuff to go through. But that never made me see Micah as anything less than strong and masculine and so incredibly courageous.
Even the re answer to your make it or break it question, do you know Jesus? That was honest. Yes, but I mean, he could have, yeah, sure, I do, and move on. But that opened the door, and that may have been even a God thing. That I don't think he probably planned that in the back, that that's going to be the question she asked. And if she does, I'll throw out this pat answer. That was an answer of honesty, and I applaud that, because when once you start hiding for so many years, the hurt and the pain and the abuse, wow, it's so easy to just continue on. I don't want to lose what maybe coming into my path. So yeah, I know him, yes, but he opened it up with genuineness, and that's another feather in his hat, right?
Yeah, and I think now, 'cause we were talking about this, I think about how would our relationship have been different if I didn't know then, and maybe it was years later that he found out that I found out, and I think I would have still held it for, but maybe it would have been harder if it had been so long, because I know a lot of we've talked to a lot, even without the story being out in the small pockets that we've shared his story. We've already encountered men who have come and told us, shared stuff with us, and they haven't even told their wives yet. And one of these situations, I was like, what are you afraid of? And he was like, I'm so afraid she's going to see me as weak. I'm so afraid she's going to see me as damaged goods. And I'm so afraid she's going to see me as less masculine. And I just said, if it's of any, like, if this helps you at all, just know that from a wife's perspective, none of those things
And
are what I
I
thought
just
of my
said,
husband.
if it's
And that man ended up
This
going and
helps you
actually telling
evolve
his
and
wife
know that
of
from a
14
life's
years,
perspective, none of
and
those
they
things.
ended up having an even deeper relationship. He finally let us know when he told her, and he's like, "I can't believe I waited so long." He's like, it's our relationship is on another level because now she understands so much more of what was triggering me, like the things that were coming up for me. Before she had no idea. Now she knows, and it's actually brought this deeper level to our relationship. But boy, was it so hard for him to share.
Wow. Now, did Diana, did you have anything that happened in your life that gave you any type of understanding of what you're getting ready to get involved with for the rest of your life that you could say, well, I understand, but was there anything that ever happened to you in your story that gave you an eye-opening experience of where he's coming from?
I think it wasn't for me, it wasn't in the that exact same way, but I had already been in the fitness space at least for a while, and in that, and it's a space where we may be taking people through workouts, but we hear a lot of stories of
I
harm,
bet you do.
and we have to hold a lot of stories of harm, and we hear people share with us, and especially when we're not just trainers, like we were really like transformation coaches. So I'd already thankfully had the opportunity to hold a lot of really hard stories. I didn't have all the trauma experience and training that I have now, but I am thankful that I did some things right in that moment because I also know now how detrimental it could be if he had shared it with me, if I had scoffed, if I had, I don't want to hear about that, if I
Yeah.
had, made any look of disgust or tried to fix it. So thank God, even though I didn't have know anything like most of what I don't know now, I knew enough to not try to fix it. I knew enough to hold a story that was being shared with me that was something really vulnerable and tender. So I'm super thankful for that, and really I can just attribute it to just being in that fitness space where I'd had to hold stories and be with people in hard moments before.
Yeah. And we have about a minute before we need to take our break. Did you ever, when you were looking, you said you had gone through these moments of, yeah, okay, this guy, okay, he's out. This guy, that didn't work very well. Was you at a point in your life of saying, hey, Lord, please bring me somebody that I can connect with, somebody that can complete me and I him? That we can do something that is greater than what we can even imagine or dream together. Had you started praying for that when you met Micah?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like when I turned my heart back to the Lord, I wasn't in a rush, but I was like, Lord, you're gonna have to send me the right person. And I did have I wanted to I was like, yeah, I want to be a power couple. Like that was for sure I was thinking more fitness, but that was for sure. I just wanted the Lord to send me clearly because I just was so tired of I really was tired of trying to change people, or I dated people that weren't in alignment with me faith-wise, and that always became an issue. And I was like, I'm just done. Like the faith has to be there, the fitness has to be there, and it has to be the, and for me, trust and loyalty are massive for me as
Yeah.
well.
Wow. Tell you what, we're going to take our break. And on the other side of this break, I really want to find out in the world that you both are living in this exercise world, do people gravitate toward that to overcome what's happened to them? So I really want to get into that. Then I want to find out if it's all right. And Michael won't beat me up when he comes down to Houston. I want to find out. Is there some things about him that you said, hey, wait, I'm seeing this, but we need to, could this be the reason why he's doing what he's doing. And I want to find out that. And I have a whole bunch of questions, even though I don't have anything written down that I think the spirit wants me to ask you. 888-627-6008. And I promise you want to be here for the second segment of Breaking the Silence. Don't leave us. Hang right there. We'll be right back.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
Welcome back. We have Diana, the wife of Micah Lassert, that was on the program last week, and she is here kind of telling us her side of this and how being there side by side with your spouse can make or break any situation. Now you have these retreats where you really realize that everything that people do is somehow fueled by something that's happened to them in the past. If it won't upset anybody, what were some of the things that you noticed? Hey, wait, Micah really is, let's just say, a workaholic. He goes in and he just is it. He drives and he drives that machine hard. Did you find that because us men tend to do that to overcompensate where we feel we may have to prove ourselves somewhere? Did Micah have any of those kind of things? Did he say, hey, honey, let's talk?
Yeah, well, he didn't say, hey, honey, let's talk, but it was.
I was talking about you saying, hey, honey, let's talk.
Well, so his thing that now the fitness world really was something that saved his life. And that's something we can chat about. But he was driven. A lot of people get their dopamine hit from they turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, maybe they turn to food. His was accolades and was success. And it was, you know, we recognize this, you know, now we recognize this, but for him, the thought process was, if I can rack all this stuff up, if I'm in magazines, if I'm this big cover guy, if I get on these TV shows, then even if somebody finds out what happened to me, I have all of this other stuff. So maybe they won't look at that part of me. And so that was something, you know, the thing is, I had it too as response to my, like, the trauma in my childhood that I went through. So we were both just like chasing after the accolades early on. So it wasn't even that it was something we really recognized and it served us well, which we know a lot of times the trauma responses that we learn that keep us safe emotionally, they serve us very well in certain aspects of our lives. So it served us well with building a business and with all of the things that we were doing. But then there was other things that it didn't serve well, because like anything else that you're trying to fill that cup with, it pours. It's just like trying to fill a cup that has a hole in the bottom. That dopamine hit, that joy, that moment that you get, it goes right back out, and then you need another hit. So it was never lasting. And as soon as one thing, you get one thing, okay, what's the next thing? And you never actually sit in and appreciate what's happened. And there's also, you're not resting and getting the rest that you need too. So that was a big one for Micah. And again, it's like learning how to take this drive that has served you very well, but then also how do we appreciate things? How do we give the glory to the Lord? And then how do we give ourselves the rest that we need to?
Is it a rude awakening? I'm just using that as a term that, hey, wait, I'll take the applause, but I really have to inside of me give it to God. Is that hard in the exercise business, in the muscle building business to say, hey, and then say, no, it's all about him. How easy or how difficult is it to be able to pass that on to really the audience of one that makes all the difference?
Well, it's really just a matter of heart posture. So I would say
Ooh.
early on in our careers, it was not easy because our heart posture was about pride and was about ego and was about ourselves. Nowadays, it's my heart posture is and Micah's heart posture is submission, is surrender, is I understand I got to take care of this thing as best I can, so that I can be as efficient and effective at the calling that he has us and the plan and the purpose. If I'm living in an unhealthy body with an which impacts my brain and everything else, then I'm simply not going to be as efficient for what he's calling me to do. So from that aspect, the heart posture is so different now than it was years ago. And it's honest, like that's where we want to give the praise and give the glory, because this body is a gift, and we get to steward these things, but it's also for all of these other purposes of being able to best fulfill a calling, being able to be a light in a fitness industry where there's a lot of people struggling. So many actually turn to fitness, like you were saying, as a tool. And it's a very effective tool for helping with anxiety, for helping with depression, for helping like move through the moments that come when you're having, when you have these pain and unhealed wounds in your past. We know that God built pharmacies in our body. Literally, when you are contracting muscle and your body is secreting hormones that literally act as antidepressants and help with anxiety and depression, which is why anybody that is struggling with anxiety or depression, wherever it's stemming from, which a lot we know is stemming from unhealed wounds, unhealed
Yeah.
shatterings, unhealed traumas, that should. Honestly, I'll use the word should be a tool that everyone's using because of the design, how incredibly God designed us to actually be able to combat that stuff. That's not going to get you to true freedom, but it can be a great tool for helping you move through those moments and get to like a balanced place.
You know, it's interesting that I go to a lot of places that are school based. And I remember going out to California and speaking there because they have all the money, and going out there and speaking at conferences. And they would, you know, after I'd speak, they'd go in and show me all these mindfulness rooms where they have the pillows and the lighted candles and the aromatherapy. And hey, when our kids are getting stressed out, we send them in here where it's low lighting and they can get back together. And I look at them and go, well, this is pretty, probably pretty pricey too, but wouldn't just being playing on the playground be better? God's already created that outside. And I think that's so true in a lot of things that we try to replace so many things with gets us there, but exercise, just moving, just getting some sweat on your body does a lot of the work from God without having to buy a lot of weights and all that other stuff. The term heart posture, I read a lot. I've never heard of that. I never came across that. That's not in my textbooks. Is that something you guys came up with, and do you write about this?
No, I for sure didn't come up with that. That's probably something I mean, I've in the
I
books I
love it.
read, I guess, and yeah, it's I mean, I think it's a good way to define like so much of where we're at in life is just our heart posture. even like you were talking about at the top of the program, it's like so much chaos and confusion and all of these things going on in the world around us. And for me, just making sure my heart posture is submitted and surrendered and humbled, and I know who I know that fear of the Lord is where I want my heart posture. I want it turned towards Him. And when I turn it towards Him, then all these inferior fears that the world and the enemy wants to hand me and say, no, but look at this. You should be scared of this. But He says that fear of the Lord is what we should have. And that's the beginning of wisdom. And that's actually wisdom is how we have divine health and how we have healthier bodies and healthier brains and healthier minds. So, heart posture towards Him, heart posture facing Him. And my theme for the year, I'll tell you, I have, people have words for the year. My theme for this year is face your fear, but it's not what people think. It's not facing inferior fears. It's how do I strengthen my fear of the Lord? Because he says, fear me, which is not a scaredy cat fear. It is an awe and a reverence, because from there, that's where the wisdom, the discernment that we need for stepping into a breaker mission and stepping into the territory that we're taking over from the enemy. That's what I need the most is fear of the Lord, a heart posture that is facing Him, so that we step in and we have victory in these areas. And that's exactly what we plan to do.
That is great. So now that we've stepped into the arena of faith, which I love, obviously. And do you guys do this together? How do you do that? What are some of the things that you really have found over the years as you grow closer to each other and to Christ that's, hey, folks, if you're not doing this with your husband or your wife, I suggest this. This works for us. What are some of those things that help you grow together in something that how the devil whispers in your ear, oh, that makes you uncomfortable. Don't pray at dinner together. Don't pray before you go to bed with each other. Help me with people that's listening. What works for you folks?
Well, the number one thing is having our individual relationships with the Lord first. It starts there first. So His priority relationship is His relationship with Jesus. My priority relationship is with Jesus.
And
So
you're not
it's in
jealous about
order.
that. Either one of you, neither one have a problem with
No,
Jesus
no,
being number one.
no, because when the order is right, that's He loves me more as a wife and treats me with greater loyalty and greater respect as his wife because he loves Jesus first. And I treat him with the respect and loyalty and love as my husband because I love Jesus first. So it's, I mean, that, but that's the order. That's his order and design is putting him at the head. And then the two of us together. And so a lot of times when we pray with couples and or we're praying for marriages, that's one thing I pray for is that him first and then together. Look to him first and then look to each other. Because that's his order. That's the order that he says, you want this stuff to work? Follow my order. And so what that looks like in our house is I have a habit of I get up and I take very seriously seek first the kingdom. And so when I get up in the morning, I go straight to I call it my Jesus chair and I don't check a phone, I don't have conversations, I don't check emails, I don't look at I actually took my phone out of the room and I got an old-fashioned alarm clock so that I wouldn't be tempted. But I go straight to that chair and I start my day with prayer and worship and time with him. And I've created a schedule that I can soak that time in. And it's been even more the last year because I know what we're stepping into. So that time with the Lord is very intentional and very long for me on a daily basis because it's what he called me to in this season. And Micah does the same thing. His first time of the day is his time with the Lord. He goes and spends that time with the Lord. And then once we're done with that, that's when we come together for our day.
That's great.
But we pray together too, I'll say that. And then it's praying together, which we do all the time.
When you know you're stepping into bigger and better things that probably any of you, either one of you ever dreamed, because God's dreams are always bigger than ours. Are you starting to see the arrows and the bullets and the enemy start raising his ugly face, with spiritual warfare?
Oh yeah, of course. And that's the it's why we understand, like, I think that the Lord navigated us through everything that we have as in the fitness world, as entrepreneurs. Like, we've had a taste of some things already,
Okay.
and then I think he's just being like preparing us to just have, and it goes back to that fear of the Lord, because it's like I understand on the depth of my soul that has to be first. It is not lost on me for a second what we are walking into. And I know there's going to be a lot of unexpected things, and I know there's darkness, but I believe so strongly in the power of his light, and that we know who has the greater authority. And I know the authority that I walk in when I walk in the name of Jesus with his power and his authority. All of that other stuff, when I know who I am and I am obedient to him, and Micah is obedient to him, and we walk in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, I'm not going to sit around and be afraid of
Yeah.
attacks from the enemy, because I know that he who is within me is greater than he who is in the world.
Wow. So you've already experienced the David historical training before he ever got in front of Goliath. He said, "This is no big deal. I've killed
Yes.
wild animals in the field with literally nothing in my hands."
Yes.
So you guys have already gone through some of the foxholes and some of the battles. And now you know if we give it to the Lord, we're
Yep.
okay.
Yes. Yep.
So, what do you think is as you're dealing with couples, and obviously, this Breaker book in the subtitle, it talks about men. You're going to be coming up to a lot of men, you and Micah together, trying to help them. What do you think is the biggest piece of baggage that men today are carrying, and some of it's self-motivated, some of it's self-placed, that needs to just be released, that you, through the Breaker and the Breaker mission, can be able to help provide them down that road with a little less baggage?
Well, I think, and you know this, it's like the amount of men that are carrying shame from
Yeah.
sexual abuse, whether it was a one-time thing that happened to them or whether it was repeated over years, the amount of men that are carrying that and have never spoken a word to anybody in their lives is blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea that it was this big and this massive, and that this many men were walking around that had shoved it in this little hole, thinking, okay, nobody's ever going to see this. And it's manifesting in all of these ways: anger and destroyed relationships and addictions and pornography and cutting and drugs and alcohol. And so the number one thing is, like, how can we create safe spaces for people to at least have a safe place to share, where they can see that they are not less than, that they are not weak, that they are not powerless, that they are not hopeless. That is the number one thing that I want. And whether we are one tiny fractions, one splinter of their story, or it's a seed planted, the Lord knows that. Like, we're not going to be able to walk everyone through their journey, but even in the small pockets, I have already been sitting with Micah. It's been many men that have come to us and shared stuff with us that they have not shared with another soul. And we get to be the ones that hold it with them for that very first time and say, I am so sorry that happened to you. And that is such a freeing moment. And sometimes it's even just that. And, people are going to likely need support and resources and tools, like, because that's going to bring some stuff up. But even that very first step of finding someplace safe enough and being willing to get vulnerable enough to say, this happened, what that can start, the healing that could potentially start from just that, the relationships that can heal, the addictions that can heal, the breakthrough that can happen is unimaginable.
Okay, so how do you, Diana, as the spouse of an abuse victim, if somebody's listening tonight, I know there are, that wives are saying, I know there's something wrong there. I just feel it. I don't know. What's some of the advice that you would give the women right now of how to best stand in a place that is a little vulnerable too?
Yes.
As a spouse of an abuse victim, when they may have their own story on the side too. What's your recommendation if you could eyeball them right now and speak directly to them in their hearts? What are they to
Yes.
do?
And I'll say this just recognizing also that there are so many different situations. I've already had
Yeah.
women reaching out that are in, they think something has happened to their husband, but their husband is being emotionally abusive. Like there's a lot of harm that has been done to them. So
Yeah.
it's, I would love to say it's as easy as create as safe of an environment as you can and encourage those conversations and hold what he tells you. Instead of don't try to fix it, if he does share something with you in that moment, the only thing that you need to say is thank you for sharing. That's it. That's it. We don't need to try to fix things. We don't need to try to give advice of what to do. It's literally just say thank you for sharing and sit with them in it. And I say that knowing that there are so many couples that are not in that space to hold that story with each other. Their own stories coming into play. You know, there's a whole lot of harm and pain that's been done. So I get that it's not going to be that simple for everyone. But if that's where you could get to, of how can you create safety enough so that he can feel like I can share this? And the other thing I want to say is if your husband does share something with you, and maybe it's years later, and you're like, why didn't you tell me this sooner? That I know will stir up a lot of women of like, why didn't you trust me? I just would say, just know that it's not about it's not about you. It's really about how strong that grip of shame has been for him. It is like bondage. And so I know it's hard to think, well, how could he have been with this me for this long? But I can tell you firsthand, it is the shame and the grip the shame has is so. It is such a strong chain, and it is so hard for a man specifically to break that chain. So if we could just say thank you for sharing and hopefully just be able to say it isn't about me. It's nothing that I did wrong that he didn't feel sharing. It's just sometimes it's just that's the timing of when he was ready.
Yeah. Wow. So if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to find out more about everything that you do, which is it's a gamut of things, what's the best way to reach out to use our web page? I know there is, but what's your preference to get a hold of you and Micah if it's for wisdom, if it's for, hey, how do we get in touch with the Breaker book when it comes out? What about these retreats? What where can they go? One-stop shop to be able to get help.
Well, I would say probably our main website is hitchfit.com and our contact information is on there. Also just find us on social media. My social media is just at Diana Shalhoub. It's the first part of my last name, but I'm on there all the time, and that's where a lot of people have been reaching out to me personally and sharing their stories. But we are not hard to find, whether it's social media or on the websites, and the Breaker Mission.com is the website for the book, or just you can find that on Amazon too if they want to grab a copy of that too.
Is it ready, already being pre-sold?
Yes, it is in pre-sale now, and we are just trying to get the word out, and we need people's help on this. We need people to buy that book and signal the Amazon people that it is something it's a word that needs to get out. So we really need help with the pre-sale and people just supporting in that way if they can.
Is this your first book?
It's my first professionally published book. I've written five books that were
Right.
more that I just self-published that are just, around health and fitness and nutrition and mindsets and that kind of thing. So
But this
this
is
is my
Simon and
first.
Schuster. This is the big
This is,
boys,
yes, this
the
is my
publisher.
first, like, that I actually, we had a team and editors, and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
I went down that road and almost jumped off the balcony. So I went back to self-publishing. But Simon and Schuster is the biggest as it gets in our world. So
Yes.
congratulations on that. And that is hitchfit.com, or you can just find Diana or Micah right on. I think I got a hold of Micah on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn,
I
yes.
saw something about him and have been kind of I kind of just read up on him and then got on the web page and go, hey, wow. I'd love to have, and you both have been very responsive, and you answer back pretty darn quick, and you don't get that in today's world. But thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share, Diana, on the program at the last minute that we have? Anything that you want to make sure people know about you, your team, Micah, your vision, your dream?
Well, I just want people to know that if you are struggling and there is hope. I just want people
Oh,
to know that there is hope
yeah.
and there is actually freedom beyond just the pain tolerance and the pain management. There is actually freedom out there. It's available. It is real. I have seen it with my own eyes. And and I thank you, Gregory, for being a voice and for all that you're doing too. I'm just real we're really honored and we're grateful to have connected with you.
Well, I'd love to have you both back together, side by side. In that room, and we can just talk and see how things are progressing. And thank you so much for sharing tonight. Is Micah right there in the sidelines cheering you
He's
on right now?
like right outside the door.
Okay.
Yeah. He was in here the
Well,
first half.
tell him thanks for sharing you tonight with us and our audience around the world. And we'll have you back soon.
Thank you.
God
Appreciate
bless
it.
you, Diana.
God
Thank you for
bless.
being with us. Like I like to do each and every week. And maybe I'll do it in a different way with the plant. It's not the fault of the plant that it was dying. It's not. It's the fault of where it was placed. So all I ask you to do is to change the environment. If you really want something to be different than it was, don't keep doing the same thing. And I want to kind of let you lean into this if you would. Give God a chance. Give him an opportunity to say, Jesus, I put this in your hands. I can't do this anymore. And I got a feeling he's going to answer back in your spirit, going, about time. Let me handle it for you. And it won't just all clear up like that, but you'll have somebody that will sustain you. That will give you the power, that give you the strength, that to give you his presence, and then provide you the Holy Spirit as a comforter and a guidance, a GPS system that'll help you through life. I don't know about you, but I can't find my way across town. I need a spiritual GPS guidance. I tell you what. Thank you so much for Diana for being here, Diana for being here, and Micah for being here last week. And as we end the program, I always want to let you know, don't ever forget this. Please don't forget this. If you think you're alone, if you think it's never can get darker than what it is, as dark as it is outside, right outside my windows here at the Texas Medical Center, the sun's going to come up in the morning. It'll be there. There's always, always hope. Reach out. 832-396-6525. Reach out to Micah and Diana. They'll be there. They'll help you. They'll give you some resources. Thank you so much. God bless. Join us next week. You will not want to miss next week. We have a minor that's now not a minor, the first minor one in the Jeffrey Epstein records. We'll be here next week to share her story about when she was a child, what she went through. You will not want to miss that. God bless you. Have a great week and stay warm and seek Jesus each and every day and always face the sun. Good night. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.